everybody that's with us online this evening and remind you that after this short sharing of God's word, we're going to go to the communion table. So if you have an opportunity to get some bread or some juice from your kitchen or your cupboard or wherever you can and celebrate the victory of the cross with us tonight. I have a message tonight, and it's for people like these requests that I'm about to read right now from Maryland. I'm in ministry. I want to get back my intimacy with God. I'm struggling from failures in the past. I feel like a failure, and I don't know what to do. From Dublin, Ireland, I've been having marriage problems since I've embraced Christ. My wife no longer loves me. I'm so confused, and I am unsure of the Lord's will for our lives. Please pray. From Minnesota, please pray for me. I have COVID, and I'm going through panic attacks. I desperately need healing, peace, and joy from Jesus. From California, I have a prayer request for mental, emotional, and physical health for my husband. Please bring him back, Lord, to his usual happy self. Thank you. From Massachusetts, please pray. I'm in a horrific spiritual battle. I hear voices around the clock saying awful things to me. It's mental torment causing loss of sleep. Please pray. From John in the U.S., I need prayer for victory over lying and strife. I need to value God's truth and respect him for his salvation and to learn to speak words of kindness. From New York, I'm tired of the lack of my own human strength, wisdom, and initiative. Please pray with me for God's wisdom and strength. I need employment also. Thank you. From Germany, please pray for my papa to come back to Jesus and stop his adultery. I feel very sad that my family is divided, and I want to go back home. From Oregon, my husband recently became a pastor. I've started having panic attacks and was diagnosed with depression. I feel like a burden to my husband's ministry. From New York, I just finished viewing the Wednesday night prayer meeting and I'm asking Christ to give me a heart and spirit like the pastor's. I'm tired of being fearful. Please help. From Finland, I feel so alone. I have no one to tell how bad I feel. I'm so alone and have no real friends. From the U.S., my mind has been tormented for a few weeks with negativity. And from Oceanside, California, I'm addicted to pornography. Please pray for this to stop once and for all. Lord, forgive me. I've tried so many times, and I am a Christian. I love God. And the list just goes on and on and on. And so the message I have for all of the requests that I've read and everyone online and even here in the sanctuary that feels the same, it's time to shake hell. It really is time to shake hell, that you have the potential to start a trembling among the powers of darkness. And I'm going to explain that to you tonight. If you'll go in your Bibles to 1 Samuel, beginning in chapter 13, and then moving to 1 Samuel chapter 14. So, Father, thank you, God, for all that has been spoken tonight, for you have been speaking to us all this evening, God, about the victory that can be ours in you, that you're not ashamed of us when we struggle. You don't push us away when times are tough and when we haven't done well. God, you truly love your people and you're willing, Lord, even as Mark shared tonight when he had walked away from you and got into a place of torment, yet you still held his hand, oh God, and you brought him through to victory and you've brought him here to a Bible school in Pennsylvania because you're going to use his life for your glory. God, I want to say thank you, Lord, for you don't choose us when we're strong or when we're noble or we have it all together. But your word tells us clearly, even though we're so loath to believe it, that you choose us when we're weak and when we don't know what we thought we knew and when we find out that we're not as smart as we thought we were. And God, when our plans fall through our fingers and we look like a despairing person, God, then you choose us and you give us your Holy Spirit so that we might shake the powers of hell and begin to confound everything that stands in its own strength. So God, I'm asking you for the ability to convey this word tonight and give us all the grace to hear it. Oh God, I pray for those online tonight. Oh Jesus, people sitting at home depressed and addicted and to drugs and tormented in their mind and stuck in pornography and every other trap of the devil. God, I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you would raise up this end time victorious army starting tonight. God, that you would cause people to rise up who the devil least expected would ever threaten his kingdom. Oh God, give us insight through your word tonight, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the scene in 1 Samuel 13 and 14 is that the an enemy army has come in and they far outnumber the people of God, and they are threatening the testimony of God in the earth. And this has been the age-old battle from the Garden of Eden and onward. God has promised to have a people in the earth that represent his glory. He's promised to make us more than we are and give us more than we could possess. And the devil is always coming at us full force to try to literally swallow our confidence in our God, our confidence in the promises of our God, and to eradicate the testimony of God in the earth. And this is, of course, what we're finding happening on a huge scale in our generation. But be encouraged, because people have gone before us who have had to go through these things, and God has proven himself faithful to them and will prove himself faithful to you and I today, just as he has in the past. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe that. God doesn't change. Now, in this particular scenario, in 1 Samuel, let's start at chapter 13, verse 5. It says, the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots, that's a lot of chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. So this is one more time a huge army coming against the testimony of God and God's people in the earth. An overwhelming army, just as it has been in many instances throughout history. Now in verse 6 says, when the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people, these are the people of God, hid in caves, thickets, rocks, and holes and pits. So the people of God went into hiding, basically just trying to survive. Everybody's just going to go home. It's like in our generation when the threatenings are coming against those who hold the biblical truth, for example, and a lot of people are just going to go into hiding. They'll hide in the workplace. They'll hide their Christianity in the workplace. They'll hide in their homes. They'll hide in the store. They'll just hide the light that's in them. As the scripture said, they'll take this light of Christ, put it under a bushel, and hide it under their bed. And that's the tendency when we're threatened. And we are being threatened in this generation. Make no doubt about that. Make no mistake. It's going to get darker as the days progress. And some of the Hebrews crossed over Jordan of the land of Gad and Gilead. Now this is, some of the people just took off and started looking for a safe haven. They maybe sold their stuff and went to Tahiti, somewhere where they felt maybe that I could live up my life and not be threatened by this darkness. And so nothing really changes in that regard. There are people who are going to hide with this overwhelming threat against the testimony of Christ. Some are going to flee and go into other places. And now, as for Saul, this is that present king of that time, in Israel, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. So everybody who's kind of left to fight this darkness is really afraid. They're trembling, simply because they're overwhelmed. The numbers are just overwhelming at this time. Verse 15 says, Saul numbered the people present with him. They had 600 men. So here's the odds one more time. You've got 600 soldiers, and coming against you is 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people, which is as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Not only that, raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies, and one company turned one way, another way, and a third one going the other way. Now, the raiders were sent out to literally strike terror in the peoples of the land before the invading army came. This is what they were sent to do. In other words, shouting at people who maybe hiding behind walls. You can't hide. You can't defend yourself. We're coming for you. You're not going to be able to stop us. You don't have enough power. We're more powerful than you are. And so that's what the raiding parties. They're going out in three different directions from this massive army to let the people of the land know we're coming. And if you think you're ever going to defeat us, then you're living a pipe dream. This is never going to happen. So also in the land of Israel, there was no blacksmith at this particular time allowed through all the land of Israel, because the Philistines were the dominant peoples of that time, and they didn't want the people of God making weaponry. And so it came, verse 22 says, it came about on the day of battle, there was neither a sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were Saul and Jonathan. The only people who had a sword was Saul and his son Jonathan. You imagine that? You're facing, how many chariots now? You're facing 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand on the seashore who are obviously armed, and there's nobody even has a sword among you. There's 600 of you, and you're about to go against an army, and you don't even have weaponry. You might have sticks and stones. That's all you've got to fight this thing. And here are the people following Saul. Saul is, in a sense, a king who's lost touch with God. He's actually been told by Samuel, the prophet, that your reign is done. Your time of ministry is finished. Now, the scripture says these people are trembling that are following Saul, and they're not knowing what to do. And it would have been a very, very difficult moment. The scripture says one day it happened in chapter 14 that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Keep in mind, they don't have any weapons. Ahijah, now this is even when it gets better. Ahijah, the son of Itab, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh was wearing an ephod. So you got a backslidden king, and you have a priest, in a sense, that is Ichabod. That means the glory of God's nephew is the priest. So the glory of God is gone, in other words. His nephew is the priest. It's about as refreshing as a mouthful of sand. It doesn't get any worse than this. So Jonathan is sitting there, and Jonathan is the type of a guy that just says, "I'm out of here. I know the history of the people of God, and I'm not going to sit here any longer and just wait for this encroaching army to come in and slaughter us. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to fight back." And he tells his armor bearer, it doesn't matter to God how many people we are. If God is with us, we're a majority. So let's you and I get up, and let's fight back. Let's do something that only can be done in the strength of God. So he got up, and he and the armor bearer went between the passes, which Jonathan sought to go over, chapter 14, verse 4, to the garrison of the Philistines. And there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. The name of one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Senna. And it means, Bozez means slippery place, and the other rock, it really means thorns. I mean, so here they are. They're going into the battle. They have to go through a slippery place, you know, a place where, in a sense, you're not even sure of your footing that's ahead of you. And yet you also have these thorns. It means the battles of the mind, the similar to the thorns that were pressed into the brow of the Son of God. And he was mocked by the soldiers of that time and struck on the head with a staff saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." It's the mockery. When you and I get up to fight, there's a power of hell that is going to mock the presence of God within us. A power of hell that is going to try to tell us, you think you're not even going to be able to climb into this place where the battle is. A power that says, who do you think you are to think you can stand up and somehow defeat this incredible army that's come against you? What do you think you are? There's only two of you, and here you are coming up to challenge a garrison of the enemy army. Now, the scripture says in verse 5, the front of one faced northward, the rock towards Michmash, which means a concealed place, and the other southward towards Gibeah, which means a place of past association. So you've got to walk in this slippery place. You're being bombarded in your mind, and you're being reminded of your past associations. It's like Mark getting up tonight and going into the battle, and the devil just there trying to say to him, "Who do you think you are? You remember what you used to do? Do you remember the people you used to hang out with? What makes you think God is going to go with you?" You see, the biggest battle we fight is in our minds. And if the devil can get you in your mind, then he's got you. But if he can't get you in your mind, you've got him. Because if God is moving with you, there is a victory that's about to be won that only can be won by the power of God in your life. And so behind him is a past association, and before him is a hidden place. It's kind of it's a difficult spot to be in, because you're in a slippery place. You're being bombarded in your mind. The devil's reminding you of your past and your association. Maybe reminding Jonathan, your father is backslidden. Ichabod's nephew is your priest. You've got an army behind you of 600 men that don't even have swords. All they got is sticks and stones in their hands. What makes you think that you're going to be able to win this battle? And behind you is all of this, and ahead of you is a place that you can't see. You're moving to it by faith, but you can't see it, and there's no real tangible reason in the natural why you should win this victory. And so to win a spiritual victory in a season like this, there's got to be something of God that gets into the heart. As it did with young David when he faced Goliath, to say, I'm going into this battle because the armies of the living God have been challenged by this power of darkness. And it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit of God that this battle is going to be won. So I'm going to get up from where I am, and I'm not going to live among the trembling any longer. I'm going to go, and I'm going to begin to fight this battle that is ahead of me. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go to the garrison of these Philistines. It may be the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. So Jonathan had something in his heart and in his mind that his father didn't have, nor did the 600 who were with him. If God is with us, who can be against us? If God is with me, who can stop what God wants to do through my life? If God has sent me to do something, it shall be done, not in my power, but in the power of Christ within me. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then, I am here with you according to your heart. I love it. It's so good to have a friend like that, isn't it? It's so good to have a friend when you say, God has given me something. And it's always good to have a friend that says, let's go, I'm with you. Let's do this thing, praise God. I get a friend like that who's online tonight. His name is Mark Gastineau, and he's like that. He's not feeling too well tonight, but he's going to be back next week, and we're going to fight this fight right to the end. I love the fact that Mark is willing to go in any battle anywhere and sack any devil in any place. I thank God for that with all my heart. His armor bearer said, do what's in your heart. Go, I'm with you according to your heart. And Jonathan said, very well, let's cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. And if they say to us, wait till we come to you, then we'll stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have been hiding. If you stand up to fight back against the devil, the first thing you will fight against are voices of mockery that will come against you. The men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we'll show you something. In other words, you think you're going to beat us? Then come on up and we'll show you how the battle is won. We'll show you how foolish you are. We'll show you what's going to happen to you. Then Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. Don't you love that? Do you love that kind of faith when everything seems to be against you, but you stand up and say, come with me, we're going to go into this battle. God's given them into our hands. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. You know, we have this impression that when we go into the battle, it's got to involve 6 chariots and 12 white horses and a bunch of soldiers and banners and flags. And the thought of crawling on our hands and knees up this hill is not really our viewpoint of what victory looks like. But here is the Son of God, not the Son of God. Here's Jonathan, the son of a backslidden king, and he's climbing up this mountain on his hands and knees. And it's kind of like you and I in our Bibles. Especially the students here, you're in a Bible school and you say, I should be experiencing this incredible victory, but yet I'm climbing through my Bible every morning on my hands and knees, you know, clawing for a little piece of rock on this cliff as I go up and down this battle. I'm fighting for whatever God can give me in the way of victory. And I want to look like I'm strong, but it's been a very, very difficult battle for me. And the scripture says he climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. The first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men with about a half an acre of land. So it's not a big battle they won. And this is the message that I have tonight for people that are online. It's not a big battle that God needs you to win. It's only a half an acre. You know, half an acre is 110 feet by 110 feet. That was the whole size of this battle. It's a half an acre. But when they went up and they won this half acre, see, everybody here tonight has a half acre that you got to win. Your half acre might be drug addiction. Your half acre might be depression. Your half acre for some tonight is the dysfunction in your family. Your half acre might be the unbelief that's in your own heart. Everybody has a half acre that you have to take. And Jonathan and his armor bearer went up and they took that half acre. And when they took that half acre, something happened. The scripture says in verse 15, there was a trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. This is about the Philistine army now. The garrison and the raiders also trembled. And the earth quaked so that it was a very great trembling. Two men rose up. They climbed up a hill. They took on a garrison. It's about 20 Philistine soldiers on about a half acre of land. Not about the size of this sanctuary, roughly. And they captivated it. And when they did it, you see, because these armies that were coming against the people of God were demonically inspired. And when they came in and took on this garrison of the Philistines, the demonic powers that were behind them began to realize that something had happened. Somebody had invited God into the battle. James said it this way. He said, you believe in God, you do well. He said, but the demons also believe and tremble. The devils know the power of God. The devils know that their day is numbered. The devils know that they're about to be judged and thrown forever into a lake of fire. They are fully familiar with the power of God. The only way they can defeat the people of God is to somehow convince you and I that God is not with us. God is not powerful. We are somehow a substandard people in the earth. But every once in a while, somebody stands up and takes a half acre from hell. Somebody stands up and wins their battle. Somebody stands up and in the power of their God wins the battle of the mind, wins the battle of their family, wins the battle against the fear that's in their own heart, wins the battle against the addictions that have gotten a hold of their bodies. They get up and simply take their half acre. Your half acre, sir, tonight, your half acre, ma'am, is right in your apartment where you are right now. It's your 110 by 110 feet. And I want to tell you something. When you take that half acre, there's a trembling that will come into hell. Everything of darkness pitted against you and your family will begin to tremble when you get up and you take that half acre. You might have to climb on your hands and knees to get up to the top of that hill. You have to endure every form of mockery that will come your way. The threats of darkness will come against you, but you stand in the power of your God, and suddenly there's a trembling. The whole host, the scripture says, that means all of the thousands of chariots, all of the thousands of people that are as the sand on the seashore, there's a trembling comes into the host. Even the raiding parties that were miles away, probably 30, 40 miles away from this main camp, there's a sudden shudder comes into them because the powers of darkness know that somebody has brought God into the battle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Glory to the name of Jesus. So let the enemies rise. Let them bring in their armies. Let them utter their threats. We have the living Christ on our side, the God of eternity, the God who sent his son to die on a cross, took captivity captive, and gives gifts unto men, has all power, has all authority. Every name that is named will bow before him one day and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is with us. And when you and I stand up and take our half acre, we send a shudder into hell. Don't let the devil ever convince you that you have no part in this battle that we're fighting in this generation. You, sir, are addicted. You, ma'am, who are depressed. You, young person, who don't see a reason to go forward in life. You can stand up. You climb your mountain. You take your half acre and you watch hell around you begin to shake. The demons in your neighborhood will begin to shake. They have a phenomenal communication system. I don't know how it works, but I know that when somebody rises up and brings Christ into the battle, there is a shaking that happens in hell, a trembling among the powers of darkness. Not only did they tremble, they turned against one another and they began to destroy each other. And when it happened, because Jonathan and his armor bearer went in and fought this battle, then people who were in hiding came out and they joined into the battle. There's a courage came into the hearts of the people of God because the victory had been already won. Christ had been brought into the battle, may I put it that way, by just two men who decided, I'm just going to do this. I'm just up and I'm just out. I'm not sitting here with the fearful any longer, or the prognosticators and the analysts who tell us all the reasons why we can't do this or we can't do that, or all the people who say the battle can't be won. I'm just not sitting here with them any longer. I'm out of here. And the interesting thing is Jonathan didn't bother even telling his father, because his father would have talked him out of it. You know, if you're going to do something that involves faith, don't talk to people that are full of unbelief. Just find a friend who says, let's go. Let's do this. Let's do this. And Jonathan said, something's in my heart. I just believe that God is the same God as he always has been. We don't need an army to win this battle. We need God, because us and God are a majority. God. I think it's time for everyone to bring God back into the battle. Whatever your battle is, whatever your half acre is in your life, whatever it is that you need to pursue, whatever mountain you need to climb, whatever slippery place you need to go up. If you have to go on your hands and knees, just go on your hands and knees. It doesn't look like a victorious position, but actually it really is. The battle really is won on our knees, always has been, and always will be. So I'm talking to the end time army of God tonight. I'm talking to the men and women who don't see themselves having any power, any future. You don't see yourself living in any present victory. And you say to me, well, Pastor, what is required of me then? Get up, go forward into the battle. Say, I'm done with this. I'm done with the devil destroying my home, my marriage, my family, my children, my mind, my body, my neighbors. I'm done with this. And I'm going to get up, and in the power of God, I'm going to go into the battle. And I don't care who mocks me. I don't care what I have to fight in my head. I don't care what voices come against me. I'm going into this battle, and by the grace of Almighty God, I believe this battle is going to be won. And I don't care who mocks me. There'll always be mockers when you set out to live by faith. They will bear their troubles. God will see to it. But there'll always be mockers when you set out to fight. And fight for God. So Father, tonight, I ask, O God, in Jesus' name, that you would just give the people who are listening online tonight the power to walk with you. Give them the power, Lord Jesus Christ, to serve you and to live for you. The power to believe that all things are still possible to those who believe in Christ. God Almighty, help us not to live our lives trying to hide or sitting with the trembling on the mountainside, but help us to go into the battle and believe that if we take our half acre, that it can send a shudder through the ranks of darkness. Father, I want to say thank you tonight with all my heart. Give us the grace tonight to believe that you are able. Now, you say, well, Pastor, how do I get into this battle? It's really simple. Admit that you need a Savior. And I think most online listening to me tonight, you don't have a problem with that. You know you can't save yourself. So save yourself the trouble of trying to save yourself, because you can't. You give up on that and let the Son of God save you. He came to this world and he went to a cross, was brutally beaten and rejected so that you might be forgiven. So just let him forgive you. Just open your heart and say, Jesus, I can't save myself. Forgive me. And then confess him as your Lord. Lord Christ, you are the Lord of my life from this day forward and forever. And don't try to govern your own life anymore. And then let him lead you and watch where he will lead you. He will lead you into a place of not only victory for yourself, but your life will be used to bring victory to others all around you. And so, Father, I thank you, God, with all my heart tonight. I thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God Almighty. I'm going to ask that we all pray this prayer together for the sake of those online that need to pray it tonight. Just say these simple words with me. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for loving me. Thank you for coming to get me and giving your life on a cross that I might be forgiven. I open my heart to you tonight, and I invite you to come into my life, to be my Lord and to be my Savior. From this day forward, I will live for you. I will serve you, and I will love you. Thank you for loving me and giving me the promise of forgiveness, of a purpose to live, and eternal life with you the day I die. From this day forward, Jesus Christ, you are the Lord of my life. Now, if you prayed that and you really meant it, just text the word connect to 51,000. Connect to 51,000, and somebody from Times Square Church will be in touch with you. We're going to go to communion right now, and we celebrate the victory of Christ in just a moment after this song. God bless you.
face is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Oh Lord, your beautiful, your face is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God, for victory. Now, we're going to close out with a song this evening, but I want to give an altar call here tonight. I want to give an altar call for people that you're hearing this, and you feel like Jonathan and his armor bearer. You know that it has to be God, but you're willing to go into the battle. You're willing to go into the fight. You're willing to believe God for whatever it is and wherever it is that God is leading you. And you just want to make that declaration. Just come forward tonight and say, "Lord, I'm just going to go with you, and I'm going to trust you, my God, for victory in my life. I'm going to trust you for whatever it is you want to do through my life. I'm just going to trust you that you give me the power to do it. And I'm not going to back away, though I have to fight in my mind, though I'm mocked by the powers of darkness. I'm going to go forward, and I'm going to go into the battle, and I'm going to win this battle, no matter what happens to me." Let's all stand together. And if that's you tonight, just slip out of wherever you are, because this is a life and death moment for a lot of people. And it's so important that each one of us learns to take our half acre, whatever that half acre is in your life, that you just learn to take that half acre and say, "God, I'm just going to trust you for the power. I'm going to go in." My half acre was fear at the beginning of my walk with God. It was a 9-year battle with fear. That was my half acre. And I have to believe when I won that battle in Christ that night against all the mocking voices, that hell began to tremble, because the devil himself knew that God had brought somebody into the battle again. And I thank God for all the souls that have heard about the delivering power of Christ and everything that God's been able to do because of the willingness just to go into the battle and trust him and bring him into the fight. So, Father, thank you tonight, God, for some who are making the decision to go in and others who are in the valley of decision as to what kind of a Christian life they're going to live. Father, I pray, God, for the people online tonight, Lord. There are so many. There are multitudes now in the valley of decision. I pray, oh God, raise up this end time army, oh God, of the least likely soldiers to go in and fight against these garrisons on these half acre parcels. I pray, God, that you would raise up an army all over the world that where men and women, husbands and wives, families would take their half acre and cause the trembling to come into hell again. In our towns, in our cities, my God, in our boroughs, on our streets, in our homes. Oh, Jesus Christ, have your church be raised up again in the power of the Holy Spirit. God Almighty, raise up your church again, Lord. God, take us out of the place of hiding and trembling, Lord, and always calculating the strength of our enemies. Lord, forgive us for looking more at our enemies than we do at you. Looking more at their power than we do at yours, considering their threats and their voices, and not considering the voice of the one who can create a galaxy by the spoken word of his mouth. God, forgive us for giving a greater place to darkness than we've given to light. Oh, Jesus Christ, oh, Jesus Christ, oh, Jesus Christ, Son of God, bring us into the fight again, all of us, my God. Help us not to cower on the mountainside any longer or look for safe havens for ourselves. Bring us into the battle, oh God. Jonathan and his armor bearer, they put their lives on the line for the honor of you, your honor, oh God. And you proved yourself to be faithful once again. And you brought a great deliverance to the nation of Israel. In a time when they didn't have the power to fight this battle, God, you fought it for them. You fought it through them, Lord. And we're asking that you would do the same again in our generation, oh God. Oh God, here we are, Lord. Here we are, Lord. We are your end time victorious army. Not in our might, not in our power, but in the strength of your Holy Spirit. By the blood of your cross, by the words of your mouth, by the promises that you've made to us, God, we stand as this end time victorious army. And we believe, my God, that we will make a difference in our generation. Oh, Jesus, Son of God, Jesus, Son of God, Jesus, Son of God, give us the strength, the power, and the victory that we need at this time, oh God. Turn us from folly, O God. Turn us, Lord, from everything that is of no profit to eternity. And give us the strength, O God. Give us the strength to stand and fight in this generation. God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty, help us, help us, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help our poor hearts, God. We believe as much as we can, but we understand, Lord, that you will give us that infusion of faith, God, if we simply ask for it. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for all that you're going to do. Thank you that you're going to take the least likely of us, oh, God, least likely of us, God, and empower us by your Spirit and allow us, oh, God, to bring you again into the battle. Lord, thank you. We ask tonight that there be a trembling in the powers of hell, a trembling among the powers of darkness, a trembling in America. Let there be a trembling in America from coast to coast, from north to south and east to west. We serve notice on every power of hell. Jesus Christ is going to have an end time army. The glory of God will be known again in our generation. God Almighty, you will raise up an army of the least likely among us, oh God, to stand and fight in the glory of our God and to say at the end of the battle, only God could have done this. Only God could have done this. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We give you praise and glory. We give you thanks, oh God. From the depths of our heart, we just say thank you. Thank you, thank you, that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the cross and by the power of our Holy Spirit. God, we thank you and praise you and bless you in the mighty name of Jesus, the unmatchable name of Jesus. Glory, glory, glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, God. Praise God. Can we close with that song? You got a song on your heart to close with? We're going to go worshiping today, but as we do, just stay with God. Those that have come forward, just stay with God. Stay with God until you press through. Stay with God until you know that you have the victory. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Let's go with a song tonight.
This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. So open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. Sing this, this is the sound. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. So open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. This is the sound. This is the sound. This is the sound. This is the sound. Saturday was silent, and surely it was through. But since when has impossible never stopped you? Friday's disappointment, a Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has it possible it ever stopped you? Oh, oh. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Cause this is the sound of the dry bones rattling. Oh, oh, oh. Pentecostal fire is stirring something new. Oh, that you're not gonna run out of miracles anytime soon. Yeah. make a dead man walk again. No pain, no grave, I'm calling out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling. He's not running out of miracles anytime soon, because you are the miracle that he created to go into the dark places and change the world. And he's put a courage and he's put a call in your heart, and you answer and you go after him, and he's going to lead you.
God is good, amen. Let's just give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next week. May God bless you.